Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. What is up, everybody? We are so excited you are here with us. Stay tuned all the way along. Today, we are going to be talking about perspective and how the perspective in our life can help dictate and determine what life looks like for us.
You're preaching good, man.
Man, come on now. Yeah. We are so excited you're here. This is episode number 51. My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Pastor Dan.
Rock Life Podcast, part of the Rock Church here in San Bernardino, California. And we are so excited that you are here with us. Like, comment, subscribe. We have been having a good time, Pastor Dan.
It is a good time. Every time we get together.
It really, and like I said, it's 51, which means we are coming up on our 1 year
coming
anniversary.
Up. Now, it's kind of weird because you say 51 and we would think 52 is the year,
right?
But something we released,
I don't know,
more than one at a time.
We might have
or something.
Got excited, done a couple extra episodes somewhere along the way. But on April 12th, 2024 was our first upload for episode number one. So as promised, as we discussed, we want to do something special to celebrate the 1 year.
Yeah.
Come on, because there ain't no party like a rock church party.
Rock church party,
like to party around here.
I like to
boogie. We worked out some details. So if you would like to be a part of our celebration, what we want to do is on a Saturday after Sabbath service. We have a Saturday 10 a.m. service here at The Rock. So maybe around noon?
Noonish.
We'll have a live recording. If you are a super fan, if you've been one of those people that at the door every week is telling me how much you enjoy, we would love to invite you, have you, host you. We'll have some pastries and coffee and good stuff, and we even want to have a birthday cake.
That would be so fun. And if you are a baker and you want to show off your baking skills, we would love to highlight your baked goods, even, dare I say, test them.
Oh, come on.
I would love to
sample them. Yes.
So submit, in the comment section that, hey, I'm a baker, I'd love to, or send us an email at rockchurch.com, and we would love to, see if we can get a 1 year birthday cake from you.
So we're either looking at the actual date of our first upload to record this, or maybe, so look in those first couple Saturdays in April, either the 5th or the 12th, we will get you those details, but comment, let us know that you'd love to be part of that, and again, we want to host you and celebrate with you with a live recording. I think that would be a good time, and we can
fun times.
Just celebrate and highlight all that God has done in this year.
Yeah, and be thinking about your favorite podcast moments, maybe the the funniest jokes,
right.
Maybe the deepest insights, know.
We even have some of the guests that we've had.
Craziest banter. I don't know, know.
The puns. The puns have been...
The puns.
Yeah. Plenty of puns. So
puns aplenty.
Anyways, we're just so glad. And again, I always thank you, Pastor Dan, because I know that it's great to be able to take some time, what we get to do and who we get to reach and the capacity that we get to discuss these things.
Absolutely.
Have been really cool. So we are just so grateful for you all. And let's today... Talk about, we had a perspective this weekend. And again, I know we kind of transitioned from our rewind. That's a shout out to one of our listeners because I hadn't done the rewind.
Did they ask for it? They're like,
hey, what happened to the rewind?
I want the...
I guess, maybe my DJ years
your
were
skills
too
are
far behind me.
Getting rusty.
But anyways, Pastor, as we... It kind of is coming from this place of the message, which is a great sermon this past weekend. And I love the illustration. Shout out to the illustration, the tent.
Now, I got to give credit where credit's due because Doug Garasik, pastor in Ohio.
Ohio.
He's just announced he's moving to New York,
actually,
and taking on a church from his spiritual father, pastor, that sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. But Doug, if you're listening, I love you, man. He's a great man of God, pastor, and friend. He actually texts me says hi and how you doing
great.
That sort of thing. Real friend,
Yeah.
And I got a lot of acquaintances in ministries, not a lot of friends, but Doug's a friend. And, Doug came to a men's conference one time, and he used that same section of scripture and talked about the tent and how God brought him outside.
Right.
And so still had, and borrowed my tent, so it's the same tent.
There we go.
He had a starry background.
Yeah.
But I think I did it better.
You did,
Pastor. So, yeah.
Because I kind of forgot.
Doug, if you're listening.
I know, if you are. Like,
I love you.
Ooh.
I'm just playing. No, Doug's a great preacher. And so that's where, what do we have that we didn't get from God?
Mm-hmm.
So definitely I thought, man, that's a beautiful illustration. And it helped me to get a picture.
Right.
Obviously, the emphasis that he had and the emphasis that I had, slightly different, but still similar in the sense of, hey, you got to get outside of where you're at.
Yeah, Right.
You know, because you get a word, and the immediate thing that we all do, you do this, I do this, everybody does this. We hear a word from God, and what do? We start to try and figure it out.
Yeah.
Okay, how's this going to happen? We start to look at natural things. Mm-hmm. Okay, God speaks healing, and we go, oh, well, wait, okay, hold on. So if I diet, if I exercise, if I take vitamins, and we start to calculate rather than trust in the word.
Right.
You know, and I believe that's why God had to take Abraham on a walk.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get out of the tent.
Right.
You know, in the tent was loss, no child. Mm-hmm. There might have been a crib, but no baby in it, you know. And I know that certain times people have done those things in faith, but sometimes that's a circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, after a couple of years of looking at the baby's room and there's no baby, there's discouragement.
Well, you know, a cool thing, a testimony of Angelina and ours, my wife and I, is that when we were having trouble having a second child, some years had gone by. We had a miscarriage and had some hurts and some challenges in that. I remembered a message from New Zealander. I forget his name. Pastor in New Zealand. About the Shunammite woman. Paul DeYoung. Pastor Paul DeYoung had a message called Make Room. And from the Shunammite woman about the room. And so we have a retreat on our bed, kind of has an extra room there. And it kind of just became a catch-all room and a storage room. And one day, I had a day off. Angelina was at work. I cleared out the room. I had already gone and got paint and stuff. So that all I needed to do was, as soon as she left, cleared out the room.
Went for it.
Painted the room. Bought curtains, just kind of made it a room, a baby room. And that was our make room. I was having faith that we were going to have a baby, and that was going to be a baby room.
For you, getting outside of the perspective was no longer looking at the junk and the catch-all,
Yes.
You were changing the perspective around you.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you like, hey, I'm gonna put my faith on that we won't have a baby. We're like, well, there's no room.
Yeah.
and what it did, it realigned our hearts.
Of course.
To be in faith, like, hey, this room will be for a baby.
I think about Jacob, you know, he was believing God for wages, right? Mm-hmm. He had two wives. He worked for a long time for both of them. Yeah. I think it was 14 years, right? Mm-hmm. Seven for one, seven for the other.
Yeah.
Or was it 10?
Yeah. Seven each.
Seven each, right? So 14 years. Mm-hmm. And then he had to work another period of time for his wages so that he could build up wealth.
Right.
And his father-in-law, Laban, who was just as shifty as Jacob was in his young years. You know, Jacob definitely reaped where he sowed, right?
Right.
And so he changed his wages, he says, 10 times. Mm-hmm. But here he says, okay, I'll take all the pure animals, you take all the spotted and speckled.
Yeah.
And so Jacob takes these sticks and he peels stripes on them and puts speckles on them, and then he puts those in front of the feeding troughs and the watering troughs where they come in, where they drink and where they mate.
Yeah.
And sure enough, all of a sudden, they start having all these babies that are now his because that was his wages.
Right.
But he put the vision in front of him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. You know, again, we're changing perspective. It wasn't going outside of the tent. It was changing the surroundings of the tent, right?
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah. Well, and I think that was the word, because like you started off by saying, we get the word and, all right, how can I make this happen? But in Abraham's case, he couldn't.
He couldn't.
What the word was so beyond anything that he could have done in the natural. So it did require faith. And I believe God does that for us in our lives, right? Where if we are paying close attention, what he's putting in front of us is going to be beyond what we can do in the natural, which is why we have to step out, which is why we have to wait. And sometimes it's a different job. Sometimes it's a different group of friends.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a different environment. And people, you know, I'm sure you've heard testimonies of people having to leave a place, having to remove themselves from a place that was kind of confining them to an old way of life, an old thinking, an old perspective.
There's a story of Jesus where he heals a guy, and after he heals him, he says, don't go back to the city. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not go back to the town? Who knows? He took him by the hand and led him out of the town, healed him, and then said, don't go back. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that speaks volumes when we think about there are things when our faith is being built that we have to keep in front of us, surroundings that we have to put around us.
Yeah.
You know, I think of the story of Pastor Jim when he's believing God for the first bus
yeah.
to pick people up, because he figured if I can go and get people, then the church will grow, right?
Right.
That was part of his growth strategy. It's funny because you talk to Pastor Jim and you know, hearing him, if you read his book, Fellowship, obviously you can't talk to him now.
Right.
But if you read the book, Fellowship, it's funny because he's very honest about his motivation. He wanted the church to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't about like taking care of the poor at that moment. It's like, I want the church to grow, you know? Yeah. But he figured if I take care of the poor, God will come to this church, right? And so he developed a heart for the poor by the doing, right?
Yeah, right.
And God wanted to build that. But when he was thinking about this bus, like if I could pick people up. So instead of having pictures of his grandkids in his wallet, he had pictures of a bus in there.
Yeah.
and you know, got criticized by the family, of course. Like, yeah, pictures of your grandkids, you know. But he was believing God. So every time he opened up his wallet, what did he see? He saw the vision.
Right.
Right? Again, let's take a walk. Let's keep the vision in front of us. Mm-hmm. Let's change our perspective, you know, rather than you know, looking at an empty parking lot, he was looking at a picture of a bus and just declaring, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Right. Well, so let's reverse engineer a little bit, Pastor Dan.
Okay.
Like I like to ask. Someone's listening. Someone came to the message. I know for the most part, all the testimonies I've heard is love the message. It was so challenging, so thought-provoking. What about the person saying, okay, but what's my word? What's the word that I need to have faith for, that perspective change? Because if it starts with that word from God to be able to attach our faith, well, where do we get that word? What's that deposit in our heart? You know, we're talking, hey, whether it's I want this baby or, you know, I need to make a provision, like Jacob there, right? Jacob. And what is that word for maybe someone who's like, I don't have that?
Sure. I think, you know, there's a swirl of thoughts going around in my head right now, but let me start with one thing. A lot of times people view the word of God coming from their need. The word of God doesn't come from our need. It comes in our need.
Wow, that's good.
And I think that's where many times people get it wrong, that because of our need, I need this word from God.
Yeah.
And God is the only one who knows what we need, right? So a great example of this, Jesus is teaching. He's in a house, right? I believe it was Peter's house because it says he was in the house, and the house that it's referring to most of the time was Peter's house. That anytime he'd go back to Capernaum, he went to Peter's house. So he's in the house, whatever house that was, and while he's teaching, there's a crowd, so much so that no one can even get in. They're standing outside the doors, the windows, all that kind of stuff, listening to him teach. Well, these guys, they've got a friend who has a need. And they know that if they can get this friend to Jesus, then the word of healing can come to him. He can get healed. Well, they can't get in. Everything's blocked. So what do? They go up on the roof, dig a hole in the roof, and Jesus sees them, sees their faith, right, in his ability, their trust in who he is, that he has the ability to heal this man. And what does Jesus say to the man? Your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
He didn't give him what we thought he needed.
Yeah.
He gave him what he knew he needed.
Yep.
The word was, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that stirred up all kinds of controversy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?
Yeah.
And then what does he do? So that you'll know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, rise up, take up your mat, and walk.
Right.
All of a sudden, bang, he got what we would have said was the primary need. That wasn't the primary need.
Yeah.
Beyond the physical reality that we live in, there's a spiritual reality.
Yeah.
And what was that? God's purposes. In that moment, he wanted everyone to know that he was who he says he was, the Son of Man, right? God in the flesh, and that he had authority to forgive sins. So what did he do?
Yeah.
He gave that man his primary spiritual need, because that's ultimately more important, to be whole in eternity than to be lame and unable to walk in time and perspective that we're in right now. So he gives him what he truly needs, and in giving him what he truly needs, it also accomplishes the purposes of God, right? Abram is a case study of this, because did Abram need a child? Well, yeah, his wife's barren. One that's going to receive all his goods is not one born in his house. It was in his heart a felt need. But what was God doing in Abram's life? He was giving us a model of faith, as well as bringing the lineage that would bring the Messiah.
Yep.
Right. So in order for God to get Messiah on the earth, you had to have a sacrificial system. You had to have a priesthood. You had to have a people, which means that you had to have a patriarch.
Yeah. Right.
So did Abram need a child to be the patriarch? Absolutely. Right. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just so that Abram could have a child and birth a nation. It was to get to the Messiah. Right. God's purposes ultimately are greater than our needs.
Yeah.
And that's where, when we're looking for a word from God, it's not going to come because of our need. It's going to come in our need.
Yeah.
God was going to use the circumstances that we're in order to bring about his greater purpose. Like the man born blind.
Yeah.
Was it his parents that sinned or him? What's going on here, Jesus? No, it's so that the glory of God can be revealed.
Well, so that's a great answer, Pastor Dan. So then a question comes from that, though. What clouds? Because if then we have a word. Because if there's a there's a word from
God. Well, I didn't even get to how we get the word.
Okay, there we go.
That's the second answer part to the question.
Right, because then I think of like, so
a lot of times people, how do I get
that?
Yeah,
right.
Primary way you're going to hear from the word of God is from the word of God, from the Bible, absolutely. Right? That's the primary, every black and white or red and white print, if you've got the red letter edition Bible, every phrase, every syllable, every letter, you know, every dotted I and cross T, and even the lowercase j's, all of that is the word of God for us, right? That's the primary way you're going to hear God's voice is through the Bible, through the word of God, right? Secondarily, the second way you're going to hear that is in your prayer time. Just by letting that still, small voice speak to you. You know, the voice of God comes to us through the voice of our conscience. And that's why a lot of times when people hear from God, they go, was that me or was that God, right? And there's always going to be, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. So if it lines up with the word of God, what you heard in your spirit, and if you have the peace of God with it, right? Because most of the time when Jesus would show up, what was the first thing he'd say? Fear not, right?
Yep.
There would be a settling peace that would come with that word. So you would have those things that even though you might be freaking out, like in your mind, like how's this going to happen, all that kind of stuff. But if you're in your spirit, man. No, I know that's God, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like this settling that just lays on you where you just go, man, okay, I know that's God, right? In the natural, you might be freaking out because, gosh, I got to do something now that I don't want to do.
I'd always wondered about, I'd been taking note because I'd been realizing how much I saw that every time God shows up, he says, fear not.
Fear not.
And I always wondered, like, wait, it kind of tripped me out. Like, why is there always this overwhelming fear or something? And maybe it's because I'm about to give you a word that will freak you out or that will seem overwhelming or whatever.
Right.
And I have to go back to the word that said, hey, don't fear.
Right. Yeah. And you know, circumstantially, I understand. I preach this too, that, you know, if an angel shows up in your room.
Yes.
He better say fear not, because it's like, who are you?
I'm freaking out. Yes.
What are you doing here? You know, same thing with Jesus out on the waters. Mm-hmm. Jesus appearing in the midst.
Doors.
Yeah. He just... Here he is, right?
Yeah.
They would have recognized him, though. And I think that's where, you know, did he need to say fear not? He still does. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's sending the word and he's settling the word in their hearts. So that's going to be that way. A third way that you're going to hear from God is through preaching of the word. You know, you're going to hear God's voice in your local church through the voice of your pastor. God's using that individual to prophesy in that moment. Mm-hmm. And when I say prophesy, not just to foretell future events, but to foretell the will and counsel of God, right?
Right.
Prophecy is used for edification and encouragement.
Right.
It's to build up the church. And that's where the Apostle Paul said, I'd rather prophesy in church than speak in tongues so that everyone may be edified. Mm-hmm. You're going to get built up in your spirit, man. And many times in church, people will be like, man, you were preaching, all of a sudden you said this. And I'm like, I never said that.
Yeah.
Whose voice were they hearing? Not mine.
Right.
They were hearing the voice of God speak to them in that moment. And that's where, you know, I put a high value on the church, because that's the place where heaven opens up and God speaks to us.
Yeah.
Just look at Jacob, right? You got Bethel, the house of God.
Yeah.
Well, that was the place where God spoke his purpose and his destiny. You got a word.
Right.
And so we know that in the house of God, we're going to get a word, you know? So those are the primary ways that we hear from God.
Yeah.
When you're in your situation, in your need, and you're looking for God to speak, open your Bible, pray, and go to church, and you're going to hear from God. Now, can he speak to you through other means? Absolutely.
Yeah.
He can speak to you uniquely through circumstances or to send someone to speak to you. There's other ways too, right?
Yeah.
God is God. We're not. But primarily, from the Bible, what we read and what we see, and even in our experience, those are the three greatest ways you're going to hear from God. And they're... We often overlook the simplest things, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pray. I don't want to read the Bible. I know that. I did that. You know, I want God to speak to me. And God's like,
yeah, send a sign.
Yeah, really.
You unbelieving generation.
It reminds me of the old joke, the guy on the roof. You remember that one?
No.
No? Okay. You guys ready for this? So there's a guy, the flood coming. He hears on the news reports, that sort of a thing. And they sent an evacuation notice out. He says, nope, God's going to save me. You remember this one now?
Yeah.
So his family leaves. Come on, come with us in the car. The flood's coming. Nope, God's going to save me, right? Waters start rising. Yeah. He gets up on the roof. And a boat comes by. Get in the boat. Let's go. Nope, God's going to save me. Finally, he's up on the chimney stack on the top. A helicopter comes over. Grab the ladder. Nope, God's going to save me. Well, he ends up drowning. Mm-hmm. He gets up to heaven, and he says, God, why didn't you save me? He says, I tried to. I sent an evacuation notice, your family, a boat and a helicopter. Right. You didn't take any of it, right?
Yeah.
God speaks to us, and oftentimes we're not looking at, God, what are you saying to me?
Yeah.
How are you speaking to me? Mm-hmm. You know? And God's going, I'm speaking to you. I get the Bible. I've been talking in your prayer time. If you would have been in church this weekend, you'd have heard that word, right? Yeah.
Do you think because we over-spiritualize or we want it to be so outside of us? You know, like what can we look out for in those things?
I mean, there's an old phrase, familiarity breeds contempt, right?
Yeah.
That we read the Bible and we treat it as common. And, you know, Pastor Jim used to say this all the time as well. You probably heard us say this, that what you treat as common will become common, right? It's like when you first get a dog or when you first get a car, you know, you're invested and you're spending time, you know, you're playing with the dog, you're walking the dog, you're cleaning the dog, you're all excited, everything's the dog, pictures with the dog. Well, after about a year, you know, dog's waiting to go on a walk and you're like, I can't, you know? Same thing with a new car, right? Every week you're cleaning it, polishing it, waxing it, you know, got the nice tire cleaner, all that kind of stuff. After a couple of years, man, it rains and, I guess I should wash the car because all the dirt that was left on it now is, you know, beat it up into little rain spots and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it happens over time. And I think that when we treat God like that, we'll miss out on some of these great moments of the word, of direction, all those things. And that's why we encourage people to get quiet. You know, in our busy lives, oftentimes we miss out because we're just going.
Yeah.
You know, we've got another appointment. We've got another thing going on. We've got kids and their events. And, you know, we become the Uber parents that are driving the kids everywhere, and we're not spending quality time in the word and in prayer. And that's where in our lives, understood, we have to work. We have to take our kids to school. We have to do those things, right? But we also have to find that space. And, you know, people called it margin, right? To just sit in the presence of God, hear from him, read his word. What is God speaking to me? Mm-hmm. You know, get into church. That should be a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And if you've got games on Sundays, then like we said, we have a Saturday service.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a Wednesday night service. We have a Sunday night service. We've got all kinds of opportunities. Get to church.
Yeah.
In.
Yeah. So there's no excuse not to get a word.
Yeah.
There is no excuse that would keep us from being able to deposit that word. So now that we've got our word, now we're coming back to this perspective. What would you say to this? Maybe unpack this a little bit more about, obviously you gave the illustration, we're seeing through scripture, Abraham's his perspective change and how he had to kind of grasp this vision because it felt so big.
Sure.
What would be the next thing there?
So, you know, again, we always look to the scriptures for the wisdom of God. Here's Genesis chapter number 15. Two chapters later, God is confirming the covenant with a seal, right? The sign of circumcision, that sort of a thing. And Abram, if you notice, circumcises himself, his son Ishmael, and all of his servants, right? And so there is a walk of obedience that is a part of the walk of faith.
Right.
That you're going to obey even by faith. Mm-hmm. And so what is that thing that you need to do to partner up with what you've heard, right? And that's where James comes along. It says faith without works is dead, ineffective. It's not, it doesn't have what it needs to continue on. So, you know, faith and works are two legs that are going to move us forward. You know, I believe God. It's counted me as righteousness, but then I live for God, right? Abram believed God, I'm going to have children, but then what did he do? Okay, because of this covenant that I have, I'm going to circumcise myself, my family, right? All my servants. And so here's these steps. So we're looking for those faith steps, right? Okay, so God spoke to me, I'm going to be healed, okay? I believe I'm going to be healed. Now, is there, by faith, a step that I need to take? Well, that faith step might be, you know what? I've been feeling sick, and I haven't gone to the doctor even to find out what's wrong, right? Let me just go get some information. They may tell you, like, hey, your diet's off, you know, or it might reveal something that you can say, okay, God, what do I need to do with this? Well, eat better or start exercising. Or, you know, they pointed out you've been on this medication that's harming you, and let's change that up, right? There's some practical things in there. And then through that process, ultimately, it's not the doctors that heal you. They can't heal anybody. They can give you suggestions. They can give you tests, all that kind of stuff. They can give you information. the neat thing is that once you get all those things and you get their ideas and their wisdom that they have from studying the body and those sorts of things, you go to God and you say, okay, God, I've got this information now. And I'm believing you for my healing. Is there something I can do? And God may just say, hey, receive, or, you know, you may not do anything. Just simply trust, right? And wait on the Lord.
That's not
passive.
Right.
Even waiting on the Lord is active, where your eyes are fixed on him. We talked about this at the end of the message, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, right? That even if you're in a waiting time, you're not passively going, I wish I could do something. No, you're saying, okay, God, I'm fixed on you, right? Yes. And you keep that focus of God, you're my healer. You keep that focus of confession. We talked about putting things in front of us, you know?
Yeah.
I know when you looked over at that room, you weren't just going, well, God, I guess we can't do anything, you know? Right. Obviously, in the natural, to have a baby, there's things you and your wife had to do, right? Yeah. But as well, you probably were praying or declaring or, you know, other things that you were saying, hey, there's going to be a baby in that crib soon, you know? You see what I mean?
Yep,
it
absolutely.
Wasn't passive. If you didn't do anything, there'd be no baby here. Same thing with Abram and Sarah. You're going to have a baby. There's some things in the natural they had to do in their old age, 99 and 89 years old. That, you know, that's why a lot of commentators say Sarah said, shall I have pleasure?
Me
being old. And him being old, right? And yet, they had something, they had a part to play in that. You know, not to get weird, but anyways, it's just, you know, we're
I think that can be a hang up. So it is good to mention, because the hang up can be, we get this word, Pastor, I did what you said. I got the word. I was in church. I heard the no.
For sure.
I wrote it down. And now I'm going to start believing it, and then we kind of just leave it there, like if it's just going to now magically happen. When we don't, because, you know, we did talk about at the first end, trying not to calculate it on our own. But is there that place where we calculate what we can do on our, do we have to get that word, figure out, okay, I can, instead of trying to figure out how I can do the whole thing, I have to figure out where my part in this is, right? And because if it is like, hey, do I qualify myself? Hey, I want to. The word is, hey, I've called you to be a doctor or something like that. Well, I better get my
happy butt in school.
Or, you know, whatever it might be, whether it is what we're going to do as a profession or in ministry or as a husband or a wife.
Sure.
Like, well, if I'm going to be, if you call me to be a wife and a stay-at-home mom, well, then I better, you know, I'm there's things that we can do. That's right. Whereas, as opposed to just crossing our arms, and it goes back to the story you're saying.
I think there's a popular teaching right now that might illustrate this, because, you know, a lot of people, especially in the single realm, you know, we talk a lot to marrieds, but let's just focus on the singles for a second. Sometimes people will get a word, hey, you're going to get married. What do I do? Do I need to put myself out there? Do I need to get on a dating app? And there's a popular teaching right now that I actually agree with and I like, and I've heard a lot of different guys talk about this, but they talk about becoming the best person you can be, so that when God brings that person to you, you're ready for them, right? So you get a word, hey, you're going to be married. Okay, you know what? Then I'm going to do it. I'm going to develop my heart.
Right.
I'm going to develop my skills at, you know, whatever I can do. I'm going to study the men or the women of God around me, or, you know, start to see what it would take. You know, I'm going to develop my servant skills, right? Because husbands are to love our wives as Christ loved the church.
Right.
When Christ came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, right?
So,
and then women are to submit to their husbands, right, as unto the Lord. So we, the church, serve Christ. So it's a mutual submission.
Absolutely.
It's a mutual servanthood. So I'm going to develop my servant skills, right?
Absolutely.
That'd be a great way to prepare for marriage, right? It's not passive, just, okay, God, well, one of these days you'll break. No, I'm going to work on me and the Lord and become the best me I can be, so that when God brings that person and me across each other's paths, hey, I've got something to give, right? I've got a servant's heart. I've got a ready attitude, you know, a submitted mind, all those things that, you know, and I think that's a good illustration for anything. God's going to develop you in business. Okay, so how can I start to meditate in the scriptures about business? Do I need to go to school? Do I need to start working somewhere, right? And allow that ball to start rolling, you know, because you're not going to become a Fortune 500 company sitting on the couch. You know, you've got to get moving, and that may mean you just start somewhere in business, right? It may start working for someone else, and then eventually you're middle management, then you're a manager. Then, you know, eventually you branch off, and those are the things as you grow and learn. You know, and those are the things that, you know, Abram kept his eyes on God. he constantly, you find him, you know, putting up altars.
Yes.
Making sacrifices, rehearsing the word, those mm-hmm. sorts of things, you know. And as God spoke to him, there were practical things that he could do.
Yes.
Right? But his attention was always on God.
Mm-hmm.
So that when God spoke, he was ready to submit to that. And I think that's where if you get a word, and you know, it may be a part. It may be the first step.
Mm-hmm.
There might be things down the road because Abram didn't get the whole covenant. I think we mentioned this in the message. It starts in chapter 12, goes to chapter 15, and ends up in chapter number 17.
Yep.
And by the time Isaac comes, it's been 25 years.
Right.
How long are we willing to wait for our word? And mm-hmm. what do we do in the meantime? We keep mm-hmm. our eyes on God, and we follow the practical steps that he gives us along the way.
Yeah.
It's not passive. It's active.
Well, so two words come to mind. I know we're wrapping up here. But two words, proficiency and diligence.
Mm.
The reason why these come to mind is because we think about, like you're saying, in our generation, there's a big weight on passion, right? I'm passionate about God right now. I'm passionate about this. Well, passion fades.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so like you're the example of a business. Well, I feel called to do this business. And so I'm going to choose a business that I'm passionate about. Well, what happens when that passion fades because I'm not seeing it? It's not connecting. But you feel God called you to that. Well, even in the business world, they'll tell you, go back to up your proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Study what it is that your industry.
Right.
Become proficient and be diligent. And so those two words of proficiency and diligence, not to get too much into the works, but there is the meditating on the word
sure.
day and night.
Yeah.
That's proficiency. There's the diligence about going about my father's business. There's something in us that's more than just passion driven. And there's more than just if I see the picture. And again, as a millennial, I know how big passion is and it's our word, right? Like we love this idea. But when those things fade, when we're not seeing it happen, my diligence and my proficiency, I believe, is what will take us to being able to see that through
sure.
Abraham's diligence and proficiency to continue on. The diligence in, hey, me and my whole household, we're going to circumcise.
Right.
We're going to line everything else up. So when God shows up, when this word happens, we're ready.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this as a church. We want to do what we can in the natural so that as God continues to breathe on this house, we are building a structure that can sustain and steward the growth that he has for us.
For sure, yeah.
So I know, you know, we landed on this, Pastor Dan. We're getting towards the end of our time about this perspective change. I believe we really did a good job of covering some of the practical steps and gauges that we can do to help our perspective change. But any closing thoughts?
Well, you know, if you're searching for a word, like we said, get in your word, get in prayer, get in church, and trust that God is going to speak to you in your need, mm-hmm. right? And then along with that, to be active. What is the natural? Where am I at? What am I doing? What does that look like
mm-hmm.
to continue to stay in faith? It may be that you're confessing the scripture, that you're finding scriptures for the word that you got. You know, if you get it in prayer, sometimes you have to go to the Bible and say, okay, now, where do I see this basis? And then what scripture am I going to stand on? And to declare those things daily, you know, to go back to that word, you know, write it down. That's why I always say write it down. I forget stuff, you know. And so write it down, make sure to get that. And then as you actively, those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. You know, like you said, your passion may fade. You're like, I got a word. I'm so excited. Your passion fades, man. Hey, go back to that word. Get proficient in it. Find the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bring it back up to God in prayer. Just yesterday, I was on the rowing machine praying, you know, like, you do what you got to do, you know. And so, but I was actually crying out to God about, hey, God, like, you said this, and I haven't seen it yet. And mm-hmm. so where is it, right?
Yeah.
And there's some scriptures that we can stand on that, you know, God is able to handle our emotions, things like that. But, I mean, you see in the Bible, how long, O Lord,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad question, and God allows it in the word. Obviously, these men and women were driven by the Holy Spirit to speak and to declare those mm-hmm. things, right? And so it's a question that God gives us permission to ask,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it may come from a place of impatience,
mm-hmm.
but thank God for the relationship that we have with him, that we are invited into those things.
Yep.
So
good, Pastor.
Hey, I wanted to say today's podcast is brought to you by the Easter Equipping Stations.
Well, come on.
Make sure to get a handful of cards, some door hangers, go canvas your neighborhood. You know, if we did direct mail, it would cost tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But if we print and hand them to you guys at Sense, you now become that direct link. And so knock on the door, invite them to church. If they don't answer the door, just hang the door hanger on there and, you know, pray for them as you go throughout your neighborhood and just believe God. And if you know of a coffee house, a local board, that sort of a thing, man, make sure to do that. And then with the social media graphics and things like that, be sure and repost, take those graphics and post them on yours. And let's pack out Easter. I believe in God for over 1,000. It's been like 450, 500 past couple of years. Well, I want to double that.
Amen.
We need your help to do that. So come on.
Awesome. Well, love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Like, comment, subscribe. Again, let us know over that birthday cake or our 1-year anniversary. We'd love to see you there. God bless you guys.